Is Mark Fitzpatrick running for governor for the state of Idaho, trying to unseat Governor Brad Little, and he joins us this morning. Mark, welcome. Good to have you with us again.
Hey, thank you so much. Glad to be on the show. Appreciate it.
Well, how do you, I guess, size up your campaign? We did chat with you a few weeks ago, and how are things going with a week left?
Well, things are rocking. This is event number 97, actually. We've got four events scheduled today. We've hit 12,000 miles driving around Idaho everywhere. And as a result, we're gaining all kinds of endorsements. We have 10 Republican Central Committee endorsements. We just won a Ada County straw poll, 47-17. Brad Little got 17. I got 47 from the precinct committeeman vote. BibleVoter.org, Conservatives of, Sheriff Mack, Ammon Bundy, all endorsing. So it's growing and the momentum's growing. People are excited. I have a lot of people who are saying they think this is going to happen. We're going to pull it out.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Mark, was the hidden video. There was some event, and I think it was mostly for ag industry lobbyists and high-level people, and someone with a hidden camera asked the governor about your supporters. And I think this is verbatim. He said some of his supporters are straight racist, like they hate Mexicans. And I guess respond to that, because it created the main media in Idaho kind of ignored it, but it was everywhere on social media. So I guess respond to that moment where the governor was speaking pretty candidly.
Well, it's an outrageous claim. And he's really showing his cards there. It's a typical liberal move, a leftist move, to start labeling somebody rather than engaging in a truthful conversation, which he doesn't want to have a truthful conversation about the immigration problem in Idaho. He seems to protect that conversation. And so instead, he just labels the opposition as being racist. And that's just outrageous. The leftists, they love to conflate your country of origin, you know, with immigration status. And those are two different things. You know, in my speaking and the way I look at things, we need to fix the immigration problem. We do need to get illegals out of Idaho and not have to shoulder the burden of what that is bringing to all different systems, including education system and the Department of Health and Welfare, et cetera. It's a big issue. And it's the number one issue as I'm traveling around the state and talking to people.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask you about the portion on your website about tax and property rights. It's clear you would like to reduce taxes, potentially get rid of property taxes. We just went through a budget year where the governor recommended certain cuts. Man, everyone had their hair on fire about that. People who claim to be conservative Republicans are now favoring raising taxes. What is your stance on all of this, and how would you have handled these budget issues that Idaho was incurring this year?
Well, the problem goes back to when he started, and through COVID, he basically signed up for every dollar and increased our budget, you know, federal dollar, increased our budget by 70% in the last 7 years. And that's not a very fiscally conservative thing to do. Now we're the taxpayers kind of holding this burden, as we probably are going to see running out of the federal money, the monopoly money that seems to have been created. And then, you know, there's strings attached to that money. And now there's programs out there that people are used to having. And so it becomes a painful process to try to eliminate them. But what we need to do is quickly get back to pre-COVID type of budget. And that means that there's going to be some big, big cuts. And, you know, the way to do that is to get in and shine a light on all the fraud that's going on, which I personally went out and investigated in a Nick Shirley style. I did that in December and early January, and I exposed it and put it out on video. As a result, 28 Somali daycares, and people don't even believe this is happening in our state, but 28 Somali daycare type places were shut down. You know, I had seen 25 different places that there was clearly fraud going on or gross negligent waste happening. So it's really hard for people to be struggling with, you know, in one county, how are we going to afford ambulance services And in Boise, we're seeing hundreds of millions of dollars flushed down the toilet. So starting with getting rid of that fraud, shining a light, getting the wrong people who are taking advantage of taxpayers out of our government and decreasing the burden of illegals is going to be a great start to that. And then we will continue from there. And the next part is bringing in more income. And that's where I would say, hey, look, we need to use these amazing trillions of dollars of natural resources that we have in Idaho, open up mining, you know, tenfold, open up logging tenfold, and do it responsibly, where we're leaving that forest in a way that it's going to repair and grow and prosper, and then not have forest fires. There's ways to do all these things and make billions of dollars for the people of Idaho while we're at it. And that will allow us to eliminate some of these taxations that we've been living under as slaves for generations.
We're talking with Mark Fitzpatrick. Mark, I want to ask you a question. I don't think it's a tough question, but it might feel that way when I ask you this. Anytime I interview a disruptor candidate, and I think you would probably agree, you are a disruptor candidate, and you're taking on Governor Little, who is now a multi-term governor and a fairly strong incumbent, and he's certainly not without his flaws. But if you are elected, in order to get anything done, you're going to have to work with the legislature. And we saw from the last session, they couldn't even get an immigration bill passed. So how, as governor, as you talk about immigration and your particular stance on immigration, how can you assure voters that you can get this done when we have a legislative branch that can't produce a single immigration bill?
Well, I would say that the governor's office is part of that problem for sure currently. And so I'm going to do pretty much the opposite of what Governor Little does. He operates in secrecy, not involving the people. And I'm going to do the opposite. This is going to blow your mind, but I'm going to get the truth and I'm going to deliver it to the people. When that happens, the people are getting the power and they get the power back. So we're going to give them so much information, they'll have that, and then we'll have about 10 to 100 times as much interest. We'll put pressure on the legislature to do their jobs. I don't think we're going to have this problem. In fact, I've been hearing from people that the governor has worked behind the scenes to thwart some of these good bills that were, you know, of the people, and the people wanted them. But he's been thwarting them from happening behind the scenes, and then gets credit, you know, later on from places like Idaho Statesman for signing a bill that was pushed through by the people and ends up winding up on his desk, and he simply signs it. My governorship is going to be a lot of populist type of style. If you would imagine a Christian Donald Trump getting in office, just being very blunt, putting the information out there. It's hard. Like, how are people make decisions and have good conversations about a data center over in the West that's being proposed, or water curtailment in the East? How do you have a good conversation about that when you have a governor's office that simply operates in secrecy and doesn't get the information to the people and stand in front of them and take questions? It's not happening. So that the opposite of that's going to happen when I'm in there.
All right. I just wanted to ask you personally, you've been very bold in the things that you've said. And I think if somebody is newly listening to you in this interview and they hadn't heard you yet, they would probably agree with that statement that you're very bold and set in your plans. How has this affected your personal life? I mean, you jumped into politics at the highest level on the state level. So how have things been?
It's been an adventure. So we have everything from so much support and everything on one side, and then a tremendous amount of hate on the other side. And you know, my wife, from me first saying this, she said, "Oh no, you don't want to do that. We don't want wait for the kids to, you know, get through high school and everything." But we prayed about it for a month, and at the conclusion of that month, on the same day, we both came back and said, "Yes, you definitely should run." Because I think it just became very obvious that it's so needed right now. We cannot continue on this path that we're on right now. Otherwise, Idaho is going to be potentially too far lost to the direction that Oregon and Washington have gone. So personally, you know, people, as much hatred as I'm getting, and there's wild stuff. I'm just looking on, there's bots on Facebook today that are making up complete AI paragraph lies. You know what they're saying? They're showing my voting record as if I were, you know, in the legislature or Senate, and they're saying that I voted very liberal on all these bills. And I've never voted, obviously. I've never been in the legislature or Senate, but these are clear lies, but people see them and they believe them. Those kind of attacks, as far as my family goes, you know, we don't love to see them because they're fake and they're lies, and that's what the left has to do. But at the same time, my family's been prepared for this because of the few years prior to that when I was standing out, you know, in the culture wars and politics, you know, from my businesses, just standing out publicly. And we gained, you know, a lot of enemies and a lot of followers. So it's the support from people that really, really helps. And I see them every day, good people coming into my business and supporting every way that you can imagine, volunteer, financial support, prayer support. It's been amazing.
Mark, I want to ask you a question, the answer to which might win over some hearts and minds in this part of the state. You mentioned water earlier, and as we all know, a couple of years ago, our economy was deeply threatened by the decision of the Idaho Department of Water Resources to shut off a whole bunch of wells and pumps here in East Idaho. There was kind of an agreement that was put together that bought us a little more time, but we are far from any kind of a permanent solution here in East Idaho. You are not from this part of the state, but I think you probably appreciate how important to an ag-rich area water would be. If you're the governor, and this is not really an ideological battle, it's actually a conflict between two regions and two basic sets of water rights, how would you navigate this issue to ensure voters and those who are invested in East Idaho so that we can reach a longer term solution when it comes to the availability of water?
Well, I would say practically, we need to dedicate a certain amount of funds to building basins, catching surface water, and this would be an excellent investment for long term, for future. And there's really a tremendous amount of water that's being, you know, that just we don't take advantage of because we're not catching it properly. I think that would solve a lot of the problem. But on a more, you know, on a different level, I guess I would say that it's difficult for anybody to trust any decision or I guess what the government's doing, because we just have this history of the government, you know, not doing the best things or making the best decisions. And we saw this through COVID and everything else. So you have people who are very distrusting of whatever information is happening. I would tell you that if I was a farmer out there, I would be wondering what's the real reason that such and such is happening. And I would probably be talking with other farmers about that. And that reason is because of the, you know, what our consistent history of misinformation or propaganda or whatever else. And so I think what we first need to do is dig up and be very, very just out in the open with all of the information that we get, and get in the same room and discuss it and come up with a solution together, rather than just having some decision be made by people up above that affects everybody and potentially could end up, we could lose major farms over it and the devalue the property over it. You end up doing that. They dry out. They can't exist. They have to go into bankruptcy. The farm closes down. And now Idaho is not Idaho anymore suddenly. So these are major problems, but we need to, if to fix them, we have to start with the truth. And that's my number one goal. I just have fallen in love with the truth lately, and I absolutely hate anything that's secretive and deceptive.
Can I skip back to something that you were talking about, Mark, earlier in the interview? You said in January and February you did some deep dives into area businesses and discovered some fraud. We have long said here there's probably fraud in every state, so I think there is fraud to be discovered. But what I specifically want to ask you is, how was that met by political leaders? Did you bring that evidence forward to political leaders, and what did they say to you?
So I went out, I did 4 days, and I filmed them and put them out online, and people can see them. I tried to make them a little bit entertaining, as I usually do. And I visited these places. One lady comes out of her house And she says to me, I'm not receiving any money. And I said, well, I showed her online. I showed her on my phone. She had received a couple $100,000. And she said, oh, well, those are grants. And I said, well, that's money. And she said, well, who are you? And I said, well, I'm an official taxpayer. And so she continued to answer my questions. And it was just interesting. She now then admits, okay, well, yes, I am receiving that money. She's supposed to be babysitting or watching, you know, 12 kids and only had one, which I think was hers. So she was basically getting paid to watch her own child, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in that instance. You know, this is obviously a massive amount of waste. I put it out there. Everybody got pretty upset about it. It was definitely this Nick Shirley vibe starting to happen. But right about then is when I said, I clearly have to run for governor because we have such a big problem going on and people don't know, because the media will not report on any of these things. They absolutely will not, because they actually really like Brad Little, because he's as good as they're going to get in a red state like Idaho. In fact, one guy, a communist, self-proclaimed communist at the No Kings rally, he said, we must vote for Brad Little, not Mark Fitzpatrick, because with Brad Little, we have a chance of getting Democrat bills passed. And so I think people on the left understand that. People on the right, they don't get that, and we're not getting the media coverage. Now, as far as legislators go, a couple of them wrote letters in, and I think is as a result of those letters that they wrote in conjunction with what I was putting out, and with some help of research from people, that's what led to the 28 places being shut down. So there was some involvement. It's just, imagine having a governor's office that's involved in investigating the Department of Health and Welfare and encouraging that activity. People who are doing nefarious things are going to start running, you know, but we don't have that right now.
All right. Our guest this morning, Mark Fitzpatrick. His website is markfitzidaho.com. That's with a Z, Mark Fitz, markfitzidaho.com. Mark, best of luck in this final week. We appreciate you coming on this morning.
Hey, thanks so much. I love Idaho so much, and I love the people of Idaho. It's been great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. It's a-